Can I call us back into order after a recess that lasted a little bit longer than we stated? Apologize for that. So we are now on ONCA 1977, the committee substitute. Chair would open the floor for more discussion. Congresswoman Edwards.
Going back to the representation that there are 191 employees that have been awarded base pay adjustments, that there's $300,000 in a merit in an account, number 102, that's merit, is the thing that's prohibiting, though, in your mind, the thing that's prohibiting those awards from being made is the Budget Control Act?
Treasurer Fox. Controller Fox, I'm sorry.
Yes, now it is, but it's also inefficient to, it's kind of like busy work in my mind. Why find those funds, allocate it every single month when we know we're going to have to do it again the next month, and we're just not staffed to do tasks like that. In a perfect world, we would absolutely book it each month. But then come 1957, the method that we would have used to move funds from that budget into the individual budgets is now locked down by that. And I did express that with 1957 discussion that this would be locking down the ability to move that.
Okay.
Congresswoman Edwards.
And is the money that's in that account pursuant to 1851? Which is the market, which is the merit, National Workforce Pay Per Performance Act pay raises.
It's the one on the screen.
Okay.
Which says, which doesn't distinguish between base pay adjustments and merit bonus payments.
I was busy thinking about what you were talking about to not know what the question was.
Is this appropriation what comprises the money in account number 102?
I want to say yes, but I'm not 100% because I don't have the legislation memorized or the dollar amounts memorized.
Okay.
But I think so.
And that money is still available to be awarded, but for backlog and interpretation of Budget Control Act. You still have that money there.
In theory, that money is used.
For?
FY19.
For the already awarded performance evaluations that haven't really been paid out yet?
No, they have been paid out. They are in place, and in theory, they can be pulled from that budget. But not always in total. It is possible that we would have just used open positions to supplement, because that's another reason we don't move it. If there's not currently a deficit in a line item, there's also no reason for me to move from that budget.
So if you've already paid it out, then how are you saying that they're not going to get awarded those increases? Because you're saying they were taken out of another employee's salary that is back into the budget this year for FY20, and there's no money in there for the base pay increase?
No. All increases were awarded and are in place. What we are saying is that if you don't accept the budget with the wages that we submitted for 10-1-19, they would then lose them because we budgeted for the amount that we need.
For 20, not 19.
Correct.
But, okay. And then the other question is the market study that we received, that each of the branches received, that is a one-time, I guess, increase. If the market goes down, you're not decreasing anyone's salary, right?
I do not participate in the market study.
So market increases are included, Market study increases are included in the numbers that you gave us in this bill.
Correct. And in one document that I sent, I specifically notated if it was a budget that was increased due to the market.
Okay. I understand.
Still in discussion. Congresswoman Edwards.
Do you have a number that shows a total of the market increase amounts over and above a base pay increase and the total of the new positions that are being requested along with the corresponding amount of benefits and indirect costs associated with those?
So on one of the reports that I provided, it doesn't have a total at the bottom, but it if you put a total or add those up, the market number is there. I want to say it's around 126,000. I'm not positive.
Congresswoman Stabler.
What? 163? Oh, okay. And then I also notated with which positions, but were new, or the, which budgets that had a position, had new positions in them. But yes, I can generate a report immediately. I actually already have it that has, well, it doesn't have the IDC, but I'll add that.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, it seems to me that when you're trying to crunch these numbers, those are the starting places. If your goal is to keep any person, any employee from losing any salary that they've already earned, then your starting places are to figure out what a market increase that's not called for in the law would be and what the new positions are that are being requested would be, what those numbers would be.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Trying to follow that. We have numbers on new positions, market and other. So you're saying to exclude the other in what you, the track you're wanting to go down?
What's the other for?
The other are certifications. She has a variance due to education certification, OSH Academy, and increased job duties. So a change in.
And that's going forward for this year, not previous.
It's explaining how.
That would be
directed. Yeah, that's it was yeah, it was a breakdown of the 2020 budget in the request.
Congresswoman Edwards.
This is the ongoing point I've been making for years about policy versus law. And we have a law that explains to everyone how our compensation system works, then we can forecast and understand that. When we're changing how it works through policy and every month we give out a new little edict and paycom, nobody can track what the financial ramifications of that are. And so here we are. So I think that those are the starting points going forward because that's a policy that to me, we should have been looking at, this is the pot of money that we have to do what we need to do for next year. And if we're gonna, I don't like going down the road with policy because I think it's unfair to the employees. I think it changes all the time. But I've been outvoted on that one several times or vetoed. So that's the starting point from my perspective.
So if we were to give, excuse me.
Congresswoman Stabler.
So if we were to give a figure, which is what they're asking for, we would have to say it's where we are on revenues and expenditures, which was at 1.2 something.
Congressman Potts. Microphone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Currently remaining in available funds, remaining to appropriate is $104,427.
What's the number?
Congresswoman Edwards.
If you back out those three numbers, what's the total?
Congresswoman Stabler.
Again, this is just off the report that she provided. When you back out those three numbers, you get the salaries and wages line item down to 9.640, $199.50. It's just on the salaries and wage lines. That doesn't include, I believe, benefits or anything else.
But I'm saying, if you backed out the three numbers we talked about, you said there was a $163,000 market increase and a policy, education. What was that number?
365,748.18.
And then what's the total number of the new positions with salaries, benefits, and indirect costs?
I don't think this has salaries, benefits, and indirect costs in it. It's just the salaries and wages line item.
Well, if she could tell us what the new position total is. There's 365,460. There's $500,000 just in those two.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes, there is over $500,000 in market and other. And in new positions, it's calculated out at 1.307027 in new positions. And again, none of that has benefits to it.
The 1.3 doesn't have benefits to it? So it's 20 point, what's the number? Yeah, the IDC is 20.22, and the benefits is, 20.20, sorry.
They can't hear you. You need to speak into your microphone. Is that what you wanted?
Let me do math. Somebody that's qualified to do math should do math. But I'm saying we know the indirect cost rate's 2020, and there's a formula for benefits, right? What's that?
Well, it's what they're eligible to participate in. We have the required taxes, but then we have the 401k and the health insurance.
Isn't it 30-something?
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, that number can vary by different types of employee based on different worker comp rates. So we don't have those numbers. The best we could do was 33%, which was rounded. I mean, that is the, from the executive request, from the total amount of salaries and wages, 33% of that number was budgeted for in benefits. So that's how we got to the 33%.
Congresswoman Edwards.
I'm just commenting that between item one, a market study and increase of $163,000, to an other policy increase of $365,000, a 1.3 increase for new positions for salaries and wages, plus 50% of that, would that be right? 33 plus 20. Isn't that 50%? So that would be half of 1.3.
What are you trying to get
I'm
to?
I'm saying in all that to make sure that everyone had their current salary plus an opportunity for a merit bonus and a merit increase in the coming year. If you backed out those three things, you're looking at over $2.5 million. It's a $2.5 million swing just on those three things. That doesn't have anything to do with what would happen in 2020.
That's a big number. How does that help us with 1977 committee substitute?
I'm just, there must be more money somewhere.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Could we look at the revenue and expenditures report again, where we left off, where it tabled? Just, I want to get a number off of there, please.
Appropriated revenue report.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
If I can continue while they're opening.
Yes, ma'am,
that
go
up.
Ahead.
What I'm looking for is what I think they're asking for is where does their number sit now?
Uh-huh. Congresswoman Edwards.
And I just want to say my point was if over $2 million was taken out, backed out of their request, then you'd almost be where you need to be, right?
Be right on the number where we were a week ago.
Is that what the committee substitute, the $27 million?
Yes.
Okay.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Is that the number you were asking for? With the new adjusted?
I didn't hear a number. I'm sorry.
Sorry, it's $27,130,000.
$835,000.
That is the number with the committee substitute.
$27,130,835. Would that be what you would consider the executive branch's new budget outlay? So, what would that be?
Would it not be 23,625?
Yeah, well, you'd have to add the merit recognition, the matching grant fund.
But that number.
But is that a separate bill?
They gave us that.
That's separate bills.
It's 23,625.
ONCA 1977, the committee substitute, the number that I'm thinking, or that is on the screen, is $23,625,000. And $60.
Is that on line 12?
Yes.
Yes.
So I'll ask again, is that the new executive branch's budget outlay?
No. I've not heard anybody at this table say that there's a new outlay. We're just $23,625,000 is what is now in the committee substitute for ONCA 1977, which leaves $100,000 left in the general fund of the Treasury for 2020. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Budgetary outlay has already been fulfilled by you turning in the request. Now we're operating off of this number. It's not my intention, or have I heard any other member of Congress to amend that number. So we're past that. You put your budget request in at that amount, and we've worked from there. And so now we're a work in progress. That's my take on it.
I think we all understand once the appropriation bills for the educational scholarships and the health benefit fund were signed into law, the budget outlay was out the door.
Okay, can you, and I apologize for not remembering, what was the original budget outlay in legislation?
Just curious, are you wanting to get into specifics as far as the executive operations?
Yes. That doesn't look right.
That's it.
48. Okay.
If you scroll down, does it get into more detail as far as what it was?
No, that's it.
I think it's safe to assume that included the big three.
Mm-hmm. Which ended up around $21 million.
Seems like yes. North of 20.
21.5? No, I'm sorry. I'm not seeing that correctly. Okay. So is that the number we need to hit and resubmit? Excuse me. Let me ask this in a different question. I'm sorry. Am I recognized?
Yes, sir.
If we would go redo our budgets in discussions with our directors and let them do their job and let them decide where they feel like they need to trim each department, and we come in with that number, $23,625,000, could we move on?
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think you would still need to keep into account the Attorney General's office, the Osage News, your merit recognition number, your cultural donations number, your capital asset and improvement number, and your real property repurchase fund number, as those were initially submitted as part of your budgetary outlay. So it's not exclusive to that number exactly. Does that make sense?
Treasurer Littleton.
Thank you for correcting what I said. So if we would go adjust the budgets in question to that $23,625,000, could we move on?
I would just say, I'll let the committee speak before I do. Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, we've had a lot of discussion in the last 2 days about fair and equitable reductions or lack of increases. And I would say that having taken market study increases out of budgets, that it would be inequitable for two branches or a branch in the Attorney General's office or some of the other independent budgets to bear no market study increase and not others. There is an opportunity for a merit base pay adjustment still within the confines of the number. So that would be one thing that I would be opposed to, allowing some people, some employees, to, I think that should be handled across the board.
Director Johnson.
Well, if we're talking fair and equitable, then is that not unfair and equitable to those folks that are affected by the market? You know, conversely, I mean, they're doing a job that we're asking them to do, and the market states that they should be compensated at X, but we're saying, okay, well, we're going to go ahead and do it at Y. That's not fair and equitable the other way, right?
Congresswoman Edwards, I believe that was directed at you. Let's not get into too much tit for tat.
That's based on a thought that the market study itself was fair and equitable. And we have concerns, or at least they've been expressed, but we haven't been able to, well, we know that there are problems with the market study as it related to the legislative branch, which we have no indication is not a problem that exists in the way it's handled. And then, yeah.
Mr. Big Horse, did you have your hand up? Would you?
There's going to be a lot of us that's going to be affected very seriously. I want you all to know that. There's some of us going to be that did performance, and that's the way they got their increase. Some of us got an increase by our education, and I think that that's a worth award, a merit, or an increase. Now, those two things are, to me, are very important. The market salary, I guess I totally agree with it, but the other two are very, very important as employees, as I'm saying. And And I really want you all to consider our real-time salaries that we have right now, because that's what we have on our budgets. Those are real-time salaries. And we all adjust our lifestyles toward our real-time salaries. The ones that the subcommittee has right now, I'm talking for myself, is about a $4,000 increase or decrease. That's a lot of money. So I want you all to consider what you're talking about here. You go back and forth, but I understand you have a big three, and I understand what the big three is, but we're employees here. We are servicing our people the best way that I think that we can possibly do. We got a lot of good employees back here, and we try awfully hard. I want to say that much. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Congresswoman Stabler.
Thank you for those remarks, and I appreciate them. And I think that was our initial goal, even with the committee substitute, was to make sure that we secured the existing employees wherever they stood. Like I said before, do we want increases and raises and awards? Absolutely. But the way that this is growing, it's just going to dig a deeper and deeper hole. And so there's got to be a way to fix it. So I'm all for giving them a number, seeing what they can come up with, and how they would affect it. Because this is our budget. And like I said, we're coming in on the bet that the casino is going to be able to provide us with $48 million this year. Then next year, we go through all this as is, then we've got another additional $2.5 million that's got to be in there, and then another $2.5 million for the next year. It just keeps climbing and climbing. So somebody's got to come up with a formula that makes this work for us so that we can grow, we can award our employees, and that we can still have all of the growth that we are wanting and expecting. And maybe it's slowing the timeline down. I don't know. We haven't heard the plan of where we're supposed to be going. Like I said, it grew the school this year, for sure. That's great. That's what the executive wanted to do. That's great. But it's curbing other growth when those kind of things happen. So you need a plan, an actual plan that says this is where we're going with it. I'm all for giving them a number and letting them come back with that number and see where it is.
You're welcome to propose a motion, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Treasurer Littleton, this is directed toward you because I hear your ask, what you would like to do, and I'd like for you to do that too. But I think that throughout this budgetary session, we've had several conversations about where we are on our revenue coming in and the increase that happens annually in the salary and wages line. And this year that total has fluctuated so much. I don't know where it is. At one point it was over 2 million. Now I think it's down a little bit. So my only reservation or holdback on looking at this is we know that the way that we've got here, and I want everybody to get great pay here at the nation and great benefits, but the way we've got here is we have HR policy that I don't understand as a legislator. I think I would venture to say that not many of the directors understand how that operates. Maybe some of you understand perfectly, but it's very unclear to me that set out in policy that's administered as a pay increase annually as part of your merit reward. So we're having salaries go up every year, but yet our revenue stays flat. So my biggest concern is that next year, we're going to be sitting at the table, third week of session, which I don't mind being here and working. This is my job, having this conversation again with the employees caught between in this discussion, and that is my biggest concern about sending budgets back and you guys figuring out where to do the cuts, and we're here having this discussion about how this increase affects the operations of this government that serves the people. And I know we need all of you here to serve our people. And I know that's what you do. And I know we have a lot of great Osages working here. So I guess I'd like to hear you speak to how you feel about how this, and I don't even know if it's within your purview, but you're the guy that looks at the dollars. Are we going to be here again next year doing this again? That would be my question, if you take the budgets back and work through them again.
Treasurer Littleton, I believe that was directed at you. Marla, I see your hand up. I don't mean to be disrespectful. Ms. Thomas, I saw yours. Ms. Oberle, I saw yours. I'm just not real sure. Ms. Hembry, I see yours. Mr. Alec, I see yours. I see everyone's. So I'm just not sure. I'm hoping, it's just my hope. We'll get there. I'm hoping that rather than each director come up and participate individually and we consider reductions by section. I'm not saying that hearing your concerns and some of your specific needs isn't important, because it is. I'm hoping that's done on an executive level with a request to this committee. The majority of the committee may not feel that way. Treasurer Littleton?
I believe the question was, if I remember correctly, was whether or not we're going to be here again next year. And I'm going to say yes. You know, with God willing, we're going to be here next year. And I'm pretty confident not only will this be problems, but there'll be others. Because from what my short career with the nation is, that what I'm seeing is revenue is not matching expectations. And most of you know I'm not a voter. So consequently, you have to talk to your voters. And I get that. You guys aren't overpaid. I think I told a couple of you this week or maybe last week, I didn't want your job. But what you're looking at here is some directors with a lot of passion for what they do. And your employees are one of your biggest assets. And what I know about employees is if you give them the wrong message, the good ones are going to go away. Not only that, but if you don't pay reasonable salaries, your young, talented people that are getting these scholarships are not going to come back. So I didn't set in on every budget meeting, but the ones I set in on, I was very impressed with the knowledge of their program, the directions they wanted to go, and how they wanted to service the people. And part of our submission were those plans. I don't know how many of you read them. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But every one of them had what they wanted, what they understood their job was going to be, where they thought they were going to go, what they wanted to do. Okay? So I have faith in them. Now, until they disappoint me, I have faith in them. But I've got a feeling I'm going to disappoint them way before they disappoint me. So with that said, I would like to re-ask the question. If you'll give us a number, I think Director of Operations Johnson said, give us an outlay and we'll go back. We'll do it. these people are willing to do that and give you the numbers if you'll just have faith in them and let them do it. Now, if I've said something wrong, I apologize. But I'm trying to make your job easier. I think if you'll give us a number, they'll all be in our conference room in the next few hours, next few days, whenever we can work it in, and we can come back and hit that number. We hit your outlay before. If you'll give us the restrictions on what you want to do, we can do it. But I will tell you, if you restrict what they can cut, you're also restricting what they can do. Okay? And if one of them has a car in there and they don't feel like they feel like that's what they want to cut, let them cut it. If they have a position they think they don't need that they can get by, let them cut it. I don't know what else to say.
I got you. Thank you. Congresswoman Stabler.
I have a question before I make a motion. And the first question, if I understand right, through the Constitution, we can give a directive to the treasurer, correct?
We can. I don't remember the word.
We can direct the treasurer.
We can direct the treasurer. So I make a motion to the treasurer to come back with amendments to 1977 that meet the figure for the executive, $23,625,060. And in that, I'm not sure how to phrase this last part, in that not to, to make sure it does not allow for any layoffs.
Madam Clerk, are you about through writing the motion down?
Just about.
I'll second for discussion.
Make sure the motion's in order. Could you repeat the motion as you recorded, please?
I recorded a motion to direct the treasurer to come back with amendments to ONCA 1977 to meet the total of $23,625,060, and within that amendment, not allow any layoffs. Is that correct?
Okay, we have a motion and a second by Congressman Potts. We're in discussion. Congressman Potts?
I don't know that I have a problem with that motion. I have a problem potentially with the amount. I just want to make sure that we're getting that right.
Sure. So.
He's looking at his computer. He said he's not sure. He doesn't have a problem with the motion. It's just possibly the amount, what I heard. Any more discussion? Congresswoman Edwards.
So the directive doesn't give any other guidance other than don't provide for any, do what is necessary not to provide for any layoffs.
Congresswoman Stabler.
That's all I have for it. Did you have something?
I'm just the person that always looks for fair, and I think that if we don't follow the Paper Performance Act, which states that the Office of Human Resources is supposed to be the entity that makes a recommendation regarding salary increases based on a number of factors, And if the Office of Human Resources isn't involved in this, then I think you've not followed the law with respect to compensation.
Well, I'll weigh in, and I don't necessarily hope that this happens this way, but earlier Treasurer Littleton did ask us if they were to come back with a number. I basically asked us if we would be okay with that. Nobody said yes, and nobody said no. Congresswoman Stabler made a pretty broad motion that allows them to go back and propose amendments. That doesn't mean that that's what's going to be passed by this Congress. May get back to committee, and one member of the committee might propose additional amendments in a different way. May not. I hope it doesn't turn into a free-for-all. I'm not saying any way that it would. Just one person sitting here, a deal wasn't made, in my opinion, that we said, you come back with amendments and the number, and we will agree. Congresswoman Edwards.
And my statement was that I want the Office of Human Resources involved, since the law requires the Office of Human Resources to participate in the compensation pay for performance system.
Congresswoman Stabler.
The reason I phrased it the way I did is because I knew that we could give a directive to the treasurer. I don't know that we can give a directive to the HR director. I would hope he would bring her in for consideration, but that's up to him on how he arrives at this.
I believe your point was made, Congresswoman Edwards. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I agree with that perspective. We can't direct the human resources director. We can direct the treasurer by the Constitution, that's where I want to stay. What's within our ability to do as this body. So I would hope that the treasurer would resource the human resources director to help better, maybe he understands the bonus matrix. And so I hope that he would gain some understanding of how that works when they rework their budgets.
Congressman Potts, have you scheduled another meeting yet? I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just curious as I sit here. I'm just wondering if movement might consider a time certain.
Mr. Chair, I've not heard back from the speaker just yet.
So I would direct a question to the treasurer. Do you have a reasonable time frame?
Do you define reasonable?
Within reason.
Huh?
Within reason.
Can I poll the experts?
Chair would entertain a motion for a very brief recess.
So moved.
Motion to recess and a second discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. We're in recess.